You guys are in trouble because you get a double dose of me this morning. And I got to speak on Philippians 3. Anybody familiar with Philippians 3? Okay, well, we've been in a Philippians series, and so we've taught one, we've taught two, and now I got to teach three. So as I'm reading through this, even the teaching team agreed that there is just so much meat and so much weight in Philippians 3 that it's hard to just give it to you all in one shot, because Paul's got so much awesome stuff that you could just stop after one verse and say, yeah, that's definitely what I need to do and teach on. But I'm going to try to give you at least half of it today. And then Coulter, Matt, it's his birthday, that's why he's not speaking today. I guess. I don't know. Anyway, he's going to come up next Sunday and give you the second half of Philippians chapter 3. So you guys ready? All right. A few months ago, hello. This is going to be a comedy hour. A few months ago, I got to do this awesome thing, and it was my friend is in college. He's going to a seminary college, and he said, I need you to write in, because you have good eyes on my practical ministry skills, and I need you to write in a letter basically just saying everything that I've done that you've seen me do and how I've displayed ministry and discipleship in your eyes. And I said, good. And so then I start questioning, well, what exactly are they looking for? And this school was a prestigious school. This school was a school that likes title. And if you know anything about me, I hate title. I don't like title at all. In fact, there's a debate over what I should be called, whether it's vision/creative arts pastor, whether it's vision pastor, whether it's senior pastor, whether it's pastor pastor, whether it's holy reverend father pastor Adam Wayne Coop. But anyway, I hate titles, and so on this particular document that I had to write in, I had to sell myself to this organization to give myself some good street cred. I said things like, well, I got a really sweet beard, I'm tattooed, that's really all I could come with. Actually, I had to give my credentials as far as college, which aren't that impressive. I have a bachelor's degree. That looks good on paper, I suppose, a safe way when you're applying for a job. But I have a bachelor's degree, and I'm a pastor of a church, and so I had to start pulling out all these different titles and all these ways in which I am qualified to gauge whether this man is able to effectively disciple people and minister to people or not. And so I'm writing this stuff out, and I had a trash can close because I kept vomiting with every credential I put on there because I hate that kind of stuff. And so I'm just like, this is goofy. I don't like this kind of stuff. Well, Philippians 3 opens up very much with credentialing and Paul. And he is talking to the Philippian people, and he is just saying, you know, it's titled, No Confidence in the Flesh. And he just starts going off, if you have reasons to rejoice in what you have done personally in the flesh, what you have done personally as a people outside of Jesus, I have more. And then he just starts shotgunning out all this stuff. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which is a big deal, okay? I am a Pharisee, which is apparently really cool. We don't think so today, but back then, it was a really cool thing to be a Pharisee and be in opposition to the Christian movement that was going on, so much so that you would, I guess, stone them, put them to death for heresy and those kinds of things. And so Paul just starts rattling off all this incredible credentials, and then he stops, and he says this in verse 7. It should be up on the screen. If you guys have your Bibles, we're in Philippians 3. It's in the New Testament. Can you guys find it? Do you guys know what a Bible is, first of all? Yeah, okay, good. We're on the right page. But in verse 7, he says this. He says, but after he gets done credentialing himself, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. How's that? Anybody going after their master's degree? Tell me about it. I want to hear how credentialed you are. Anybody going after their doctorates? So this kind of hits, I think, college town, especially where it lives, because a lot of these titles and stuff that we gain through college, a lot of these titles that we gain through life, a lot of these upper-level employments that we go to, it sounds really good and sounds pretty impressive. And Paul's saying, hey, it's not that great. It's not that cool. If that's all you've done and you've just built up a good head of steam on your own without Jesus at the helm of it, without Jesus leading you to that, without Jesus working within you through that, it's garbage. It really means nothing. And so I thought about the credentials I put down on that paper, and I said, oh, I should have just put, it's rubbish. I'm Adam Koop, pastor at Whitewater Christian Church, and I count it all as garbage. That would have been awesome. Try that on your next resume. College students needing a job right out of college, put that on your resume. So Paul, he goes and just throws it right in their face and just says, you know what, if you have reason to boast, I have much more reason to boast because this is who I am. And he was superior to these folks as far as in terms of life accomplishments, in terms of Paul was a rabbi, okay? Rabbi was like the highest level. Matt can speak more to that next week when he goes into all of the Jewish history. But rabbi is like the highest level of teacher as far as scriptural things, as far as the Hebrew people are concerned, okay? And so he just says, you know, all of these things I've done in the flesh prior to Christ is just garbage. So then he goes on to say, where did I leave off there? In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. The cool thing about Paul is that God sought after him like crazy. You guys know the backstory on Paul? What's the backstory? Anyone? Feel free to speak. We don't have clocks, so we don't watch the time here. They put their coats at Paul's feet when they stoned Stephen. What else do we know about Paul? How did God pursue Paul? He blinded him. The road to Damascus, that's right. So Paul's on the road to Damascus, and God just keeps going after him, and Paul is a tough learner, I think, much like myself. And God blinds Paul on this road. And it talks about these scales. Not, it wasn't just a blindness, it was like scales. I can't picture this in my mind, but it talks about these scales being on his eyes and falling off of his eyes when God removes this blindness. But God just sought after Paul like crazy. And Paul, being the religious zealot, being the pharisaical man that he was, is a tough nut to crack because he was pretty awesome in everybody else's eyes. He was this rabbi guy. And so God goes after this guy in a major way. And so Paul, when he's talking about this resurrection, I don't think he's just talking about, when I die, I want to be resurrected. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. I don't think Paul is just saying this, when I get to heaven, kind of statement. I think Paul is really wanting to know the resurrection of Jesus. What happened at the resurrection of Jesus? If you guys know the Jesus story, what happened there? Why did Christ go to the cross, first of all? You guys teach me now. Come on. He died for our sins. Sounds pretty simple, right? So what happened after he died for our sins and resurrected? He conquered death, which brought about life. And so Paul is talking about not this, I want to go to heaven when I die. He's talking about this resurrection. I don't think Paul talks like this either. He might. I don't know. But he might. I don't think Paul's talking about this go to heaven, good feeling when I die. He's talking about, I want to know what the resurrection is in my life right now, right here and now. And those are the same things that are attainable to us. These are the same thoughts that we should be having is, okay, if Christ died for me, and he resurrected, and we died to ourselves within Christ, and we accept Jesus as Lord, then we share in this resurrection. We share in this here and now. We share in this very real, tangible story of life. Not only do we share in that story of life, but we share in that story of giving life, of bringing life, of being life to everyone else, right? So Paul goes on to say, pressing on toward the goal, not that I have already obtained all of this. Paul doesn't understand the resurrection fully. Paul doesn't understand his position fully. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on and take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And it's a beautiful thing. I actually have that verse tattooed on my knuckles because it was two great four-letter words that weren't other four-letter words that would ban me from all kinds of employment when I'm there trying to get a job. So, not that I've attained all these things, but I take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. God has sought after Paul in a mighty way, right? Road to Damascus, okay? Said, hey, I need you, and you need me. And so God stopped at nothing to get Paul's attention and get Paul to listen, essentially. And we share in that story as well. We share in the story of God relentlessly pursuing his creation. As we talked about the Old Testament early last year, and we've gone through our faith narrative, we continue to just talk about how God pursues us, how God, our Creator, pursues us, how God, our Creator, pursued the Israelites and those people, and how God continued to just open that door wide to everyone and anyone to know who he is. And so he takes hold of us. He pursues us. He goes after us. And after he gets us, what's our job then? Someone said it, pursue him. This is a really dead crowd. I haven't been on coffee for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe it's my fault. I'm normally more of a hype man than this. I'm not funny. Matt's leaving, so that's something. Thanks for playing. It's good to see you, Matt. So anyway, Paul says, not that I've already obtained all these things, but I take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. So he takes hold of Christ, and he starts talking about these big issues, these big items like, I want to know what the resurrection is. I want to know what that looks like in my life. I want to know how that plays out in my life. I want to know how God could bring me life. Therefore, I need to bring life to other people. And what does that look like? And I still am not sure day to day because I have not obtained this full picture resurrection. So many times I get people coming into my office and it's at a point of crisis in their life. It is a very much, my wife's been sleeping around, my husband's been sleeping around, I'm on drugs, I'm on alcohol, my life is just crumbling around me. That's why we're here, okay? But I get these crisis moments in people's lives, and it's always in these crisis moments that these people say to me, I just want to know God better. I want my life to be different than this. I want to be fixed. And these generally are people who know God and who have been with God. And this is, this statement is beautiful because they're looking to me like I've got this figured out. They're looking at me like, well, if you do this list that I give you, you will know who God is better. You will understand him fully, and you will be able to take hold, and you will have obtained the level of salvation, I guess, that you're after. And then I read these giants of the faith like Paul, who we keep looking to, who we keep talking about, who we keep preaching out of his words. And Paul's saying, look, you know, I don't understand this fully. I have not attained this fully. I am trying to attain this fully. I am trying to understand better and better every day. But I still don't get it. So he says, I take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, and this is huge, forgetting what is behind and pressing on. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Anybody living in the past this morning? No. That's good. Anybody living with regret, with doubt of past things this morning? Paul, much like us, has regret. Paul, much like us, gets things wrong from time to time. Paul, much like us, misses it. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't just sit and wallow in this. He continues to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of him, this resurrection, this beautiful picture of life and what it means to bring life to ourselves and those around us and what it means to love God better and what it means to love others better. Paul doesn't just stop and wallow in this, this regret. Even though he doesn't understand it, but he continues to move forward. And that's some of the beauty of what our mission statement is here. There's very many times when I think our mission statement is one of the weakest mission statements of every church in America. And foreign, I suppose. Of every church, let's call it that. Do you guys know what our mission statement is here at Whitewater? To move two steps closer, right? Two steps is very easy to take, right? Paul? He's smiling. He knows better. One step sometimes is some of the most difficult things that we can ever take. But Paul says, I press on. I move forward. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, I don't believe he's talking about heaven. I don't believe Paul's talking about this end goal of when I get to heaven. I believe Paul is talking about this continual honing within his spirit of who God desires him to be, of how he can continue to bring life, how he can continue to pursue God and pursue others to know God through him and his and what he says. I believe that's what Paul's talking about. And then he ends this beautiful chapter in verse 15. He says, all of us who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. So many times we think differently on a lot of things. And we've talked about the diversity within this body. We've talked about the diversity within our leadership. We've talked about thinking differently is okay. And thinking differently is okay on some things. Thinking differently is not okay on other things. When we start talking about this resurrection that we want to share in and taking hold of Christ as he has taken hold of us, that we can live out this resurrection within our lives, live out this new life, live out this bringing life to others and to ourselves, there are some things that should ring true for everybody, right? So the question is this morning is, does it ring true to you? How are we chasing after this resurrection story within our lives? Like I said, some of us live in the past hurts, past wounds. Adam, you don't understand what an organization has done to me. Therefore, I can't move past this point. You don't understand what a person has done to me, so I can't move past this point. Adam, you don't understand some of the lifestyle choices that I make that are the most unbeneficial to myself. Or sometimes you feel that they are the most beneficial things for you. But there are some things that as we share in this resurrection story, as we share in this pursuit for life for ourselves and for others around us, that we all need to be on the same page on. And that's why our mission here is to move two steps closer. That's why our mission here is to not leave you guys behind. That's why our mission here is to not leave anyone behind, but do it together in community. When I took hold of Christ, I was 28 years old. When Christ took hold of me, I was 11 years old. Does that make sense? I knew Jesus at 11 years old. And I didn't take hold of him until 28. I didn't live for him. I didn't care about what the resurrection meant until 28 years old, because I spent a lot of time looking back at how things used to be. I spent a lot of time looking back at the things that were very unbeneficial for me. I spent a lot of time just not caring about what the resurrection meant, about what my death meant when I was 11 years old in Christ, what that looked like, what I should have understood then, what I should have been transformed then. I didn't understand that. And so at 28 years old, I'm moving to Laramie, Wyoming. And God continues to just show me over and over and over and over. And it's not that I've obtained all these things. I haven't arrived, but I continue to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me, and I continue to slowly, because I'm a slow learner, understand what this resurrection story is. And you know what, guys? There's times when I actually do look back, and then I'm in trouble. There's times when I live in the past and say, you know what? My life was easier when... My life was easier when I didn't have to forgive. My life was easier when I didn't have to say I'm sorry. My life was easier when I could be a very judgmental Christian man. God didn't give me that permission. I gave myself that permission. My life was easier when I didn't have people surrounding me calling out my bull. Feces. Cleaned it up for you guys. Are you happy? Life was better when I would look at pornography and my wife had no clue. Life was better when I could just go off the handle and yell at my children at random because of some small thing. Life was better when I did whatever I wanted to do. Life was better when I was at the bottom of a bottle. Life was better when, insert your story there, and compare that with the resurrection. Compare that to the life that Jesus lived while he was here on earth. Compare that with the death that Jesus died while he was here on earth for you, for me. Compare your current situation now, this morning, as you're sitting here hearing these words. I don't know how it impacts you. Some of you are probably asleep. Some of you are probably zoned out. Some of you probably just don't care. But the reality is, as we take hold of Christ, as we understand, as we take hold of this resurrection, as we desire to know this resurrection more, the reality is that will change us from the inside out. It will not give us all the answers. It will not give us an A, B, C, D list of how we attain these things. But it will change us. So you guys ready to be changed? this morning? So what are we not going to do after this morning? We're not going to look back? I read a quote that said, don't look back because that's not the way you're going. Sounds kind of stupid and easy, right? Jesse? Jesse thinks it's stupid. She was smiling. Or maybe it was easy. Which one? Good. So let's not look back. Let's continue to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of us. Let's continue to flesh out this resurrection within our lives. The reason Whitewater exists is to do just that. The reason Whitewater exists is for me to do just that. Whitewater has changed me as a leader, night and day different from the last 6 years. And I can say that with every person on leadership, with every person here that has been involved in what, looking at what this resurrection means and what this life is that Christ did and gave to us. It impacts, it changes. And it's open to everybody. So, Philippians 3, guys, this is a weird teaching. I feel weird. I really do. I feel this is a weird mood in the room today, and I don't know why. I really don't know why. But I pray that you guys will continue on with me. I pray that you guys will continue on with the leadership of this church. I pray that you guys will continue on in the community of one another to chase after this resurrection and take hold of that which God and Christ has taken hold of you. Because every one of you are here because Christ has sought after you this morning. You may have been drugged by your parents. I suppose that's possible. Your grandparents may have brought you here. It's doubtful. We don't have very many old people here. It's not a bad thing. It's good. We have token geriatrics, we call them. But I honestly don't believe you're here by accident, and this is the story for you. God is speaking to you this morning of, know me, know my resurrection in a very real way. Take hold of my teaching, agree with my teaching, and together, God and you will find the way. Together, you and God will start fleshing things out in your life and what that looks like. Amen? Let's talk more rock. What time is it, anybody? 11:50. I'm doing good. That's about my normal time without clocks on the wall. I still got 10 minutes. All right, well, Philippians 4. Here we go. Let me pray over us, guys. Can I do that? Can I do that? So God, so many times you have me speak up here, and so many times I don't know what I've said. But you know what you are saying to your people. God, if there's one thing I do know, it's that your resurrection is real. And Father, I just ask for forgiveness for the many years I've wasted discounting it. The many years I've wasted fighting it. The many years I've wasted disagreeing with it. The many years I wasted just in ignorance of it. And you still pursued me. You still pursued these people. God, in our story, all starts and ends the same. The story that brings us here is you. The reason we're here is because of your resurrection and because of the words that you spoke to your people since the beginning of time, since the beginning of your creation, have all been true. And so I ask, God, that you, as you pursue us, as you pursue these people, Father, I pray for an obedient heart. I pray for obedient hearts for us. That we stop making excuses. That we stop trying to do things on our own steam. That we stop thinking what we've made ourselves into and these weird credentials and things that we think we need and warrant. God, I just pray that that stops, and I pray that you begin to define who we are. God, I pray that we become a people defined out of your resurrection and out of your love and not out of anything that we've made ourselves or let ourselves become. God, you love us so deeply, and I pray that we respond to you in the same way. So it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Philippians 3:12, not that I've attained all of these things, but I take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. Take hold of Christ this morning. Take hold of Christ always, all right? Grace and peace, guys.